Hello, welcome to another episode of Bros 3 Podcast for August 23rd, 2020. How you doing, fam? If everything ain't okay now, just remember.
Ooh, child, things are gonna get easier. Ooh, child, things will get brighter.
Talking to you.
Ooh, child, things are gonna get easier.
Someday, without mask on, y'all. All right. Hey, fam, how y'all doing? I hope you are living your best life, and if not, guess what, fam? Things are going to get easier. Things are going to get better. We'll walk in the rays of a beautiful sun with no mask on one of these days, but just not right now. Not right now. You know, the last couple weeks or so, you know, I've been in my head a little bit too much. Not in a healthy sort of way. You know, regretting things I can't change and wishing that things were different, but they not. And earlier today, I made up my mind to let them things go. And it feel like a weight has been lifted off of me. Like, it was so bad I was having a hard time sleeping. And this is something that's kind of new to me. So I was trying to find things to lull me to sleep, if you will. I tried the Calm app, you know, that worked for a little bit. But then I started listening to these gentlemen on YouTube, and what they do is they take comic books, like a whole storyline, so like 50, 60 comic books, and they kind of read them back. Well, they don't necessarily read them back. It's kind of like a dramatic voice acting, you know, I guess what I try to do if I was actually good at it. And crazy as it sounds, like, it put me to sleep. You know, it was, you turn down low enough, and so you got to kind of strain to hear it, and then it kind of lulls you to sleep. So I was doing that for a couple of weeks. And I know it sounds kind of nerdy, and people are probably like, "Ugh, you listen to comic books? What a dweeb! What a nerd!" But then I, you know, one night I woke up and I was just sitting there thinking, like, really, what's the difference between comic books and like the great fables or the great Greek myths? You know, well, some people are like, well, yeah, you know, the myths, that was thousands of years ago, and they teach that in school. You can get a degree on myths, mythology, and, you know, Greek mythology and everything. Okay, but what's the difference besides time? You know? And so then I started, like, listening, but I started giving it more thought. So I'm like, okay, so Batman is the tortured character. He's, you know, he's one of the lower demigods, if you will, if you want to make the, what's the word, when you make the parallel between Greek, you know, Greek mythology and this. And then what, Deadpool, he's the eternal jester, the eternal fool, like Fortune's fool. Like, he's always, you know, he can never win. You can't win, you know what I'm saying? And some of the scenarios are the same. You always got an objective to overcome, you know. Hercules, he had to clean out stables and stuff. He had to prove his 12 trials, and the comic books from now have their same trials. I'm not saying that comic books are not nerdy, but just because something is taught in a university doesn't automatically make it haughty-taughty, you know what I'm saying? And then you might be like, well, the mythologies, you know, the smarty people who listen to the podcast are like, well, you know, mythology, this actually was a religion back in those days. They believed those. And these stories now with the comic books, they're more for juvenile antics and whatnot. Okay, you might have a point. But I bring this point up. Comic book characters, you know, they all built unproportionate. They have unrealistic body shapes and whatnot, right? Well, those characters, those mythological beings and stuff, they were fantastical creations too. You know what I'm saying? What was Odin doing? Odin, he's supposed to be like the guy. He was Jesus. He was our God, you know, back in those days. Not our God, but, you know, thousands of years ago, that was the part of religion. Okay, you had Odin and you had demigods and whatnot, right? So Odin was getting drunk, you know, leaving the bar, turning to geese, you know, and coming to Earth and doing things with women. You know, then they wake up, they're like, oh, I thought you was a geese. He's like, gotta go, baby, and leave. And then, you know, 9 months later, she gave birth to Hercules or something like that. Yeah, I don't know how a goose seduces a woman anyway, but I digress, right? That was part of religion. Yeah, some people are like, oh, no, it's just a story. And other people are like, no, the tablet on the wall says that Odin came down and had, you know, turned to a goose and did the Uachikachi. Right? Anyway. Ah, jeez, I forgot where I was going with this. Fuck. You know what I find kind of interesting? Remember years ago, people used to make fun of the Muslim people in the Middle East who wore the hijabs. The hijab was the ceremonial headband where you couldn't see a woman's face because their face was considered like a beauty, and to show it off was vanity, or that was something just for a husband or something along those lines. It's crazy, like, you know, we as Americans, we as Americans, but not all Americans, obviously. They were like, oh, well, that's inhumane, and that's not right, and those women are oppressed, even though some women chose to wear that as their commitment to God and to let them be more distinguished as a Muslim, as people set apart. The crazy thing is, like, a lot of people over here, men and women, they were making fun, or even some places they were, in America, they were yanking the hijabs off these people's heads. You know, you in America act like an American and stuff. But like now, we all have to wear masks now. I mean, I know it's not for the same reasons necessarily, but I did find that kind of interesting. And I know I sit here and I talk about people when you say, I don't see color. There's a difference between seeing color and letting it affect the way you treat a person. And I had the most heartwarming experience at work. Never mind the circumstances. It was just the spirit of it, right? Okay, so we had a person in jail. And a little backstory here. I'm the only African-American person here. Black, African-American, whatever you want to say. I'm the only person of color. I'm the only chocolate in chocolate chip in the Rocky Road or whatever. Bad analogy, but you get what I'm saying. I'm the only black person here, right? So I saw a person I hadn't seen in a very long time. And I didn't know if they remembered me or not. And you know, we all wearing masks and stuff, right? So I asked the person, I said, hey, do I know you? And they were like, I don't know, maybe. I say, you been here before? The person said, yeah. I say, did you see a black person when you were here? And then the person said, I don't know, I don't see color. I say, so let me get this straight. You been here before, but you don't know if you've ever seen me before. She was like, no, what do you look like? And I held on my hand, I say, well, I mean, this is a giveaway right here, pointing to my arm. She gave me a shrug like, I don't know. So I was like, you really don't know if you know me or not. I say, everyone who comes through here for the last 12 years know me if they met me. She was like, I'm not sure. So I was like, I was confused. I took my mask down. So I was like, she was like, oh, yeah, I know you now. That was the most sweet. And she's the one person in this world say, if I don't see color. I don't know if she was colorblind or what, but it warmed my heart, because some people are just mean people. Like, they don't treat you different because you look different. They just don't like you, and that's refreshing, I think. you know, this last week, I've seen some things that I never thought I'd see in my life. And I think when you get older, that just becomes your mind state. Like, when you're 20, you got your pulse on everything. When you're 15, early teens, you got a handle on the way the world works, because everything to you, you can accept it. Your brain is malleable enough to kind of like, okay, this is a new thing in the world. But once you get to a certain age, you kind of don't want to keep accepting new things, or it's hard to let go of certain things that used to be a truth. You know? So we all have to be open to new thoughts, obviously, but sometimes they're hard to fit into, and they're not readily put into your life. I don't know if that made sense, but okay. So I was, last week or two, there was a riot in downtown Chicago. Now, you know, there's a difference between protests and riots. Riots is when things get damaged, things get looted, the message gets lost in the violence and the destruction of property. Okay? I'm not saying that riots and protests, that there's a difference. Alright? Alright, we'll leave it at that. So anyway, I took a break from social media because it's best to unplug sometimes. Let you get back in touch with you instead of trying to figure out what Nicki Minaj is doing and Cardi B with the songs and stuff. Sometimes it's best to just get to your quiet place, get back to what means something to you without the outside influence. So I get back on the social medias about a week ago, and there's a video of this young man. He's on Facebook Live. Now, Facebook Live is because everyone thinks what they're doing is so important. You can hit a button and then you can record yourself in the act of doing whatever you're doing. And people really do foolish things. So anyway, I see the video, so I hit the button because it said, "You won't believe something." You know how they pull you in with the clickbait. So I hit the button and I'm seeing like three dudes, young black dudes, no shirts, thin as rails, just little toothpicks. And they out, "Hey, what's up, cool? We out here, this, that, and other." You know how they talk, right? And they got their hat broke and stuff. So I see them inside of I don't know if it's a bank or a lobby area, but I see glass broke on the ground. So I'm like, okay, what's going on? And I see what I kind of recognize, but I don't, because the ATM has been damaged. So I didn't know what it was. I'm like, that kind of looks familiar. Well, come to find out, it was an ATM machine. And they kind of beat the face off with this big hammer. And there's people running outside the store or whatever. And this man, well, you're supposed to be wearing masks anyway. So that's literally half. If you're doing a crime, covering your face, protecting your anonymity. I said it right the first time. That's awesome. Protecting your anonymity is the first thing you're supposed to do. And we supposed to be wearing masks anyway. This boy out here, raw-faced, talking about, "Hey, what's up, cuz? We out here, man. We almost got it open." And then this bum got the camera, and then somebody else say, "Let me try." Because they're hitting it with the hammer, trying to get the cash box part of the ATM open. So he's like, "Here you go, little nook-nook." And he's like, "This is how you do it, cuz. You ain't even going to get it open like that." So he started hitting the little lip of the ATM, trying to get it open, right? So he hit and he was like, "Yeah, it's about to crack open." And I'm sitting there reading comments of people like, "Ooh, y'all stupid." And then the little laughy face with the little tears and the hearts. And they were like, "Well, y'all out, cuz." And dude sitting there answering requests, snitching on himself, like, "Hey, we over here on 44th St. Johnson, cuz. We almost got it open, cuz. Come on over here." Three young men out there pretty much totaling themselves, and because they damaging property and stealing, banks are federally insured. I don't know about ATMs, but I mean, I would imagine it's not your money, and you can't have it now. How about that? So then I started thinking, I'm like, man, these boys, and then a couple days later, show a stank. It was like the police chief of Chicago, he went on front the podium, and he was like, you know, "Last week there was destruction in these certain areas, and there have been tips and there have been Facebook Live videos forwarded directly to the police department, and we will pursue and we will charge people and blah 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 blah." I said, man, look at this. I said, these young kids snitching, did the crime, gave the evidence to the police. And the thing is, even if somebody don't like you, they could be like, oh, there go little Nug Nug and Poochie, and they out here getting money. I want money, but I'm scared. So what I'm going to do is at police department, Chicago PD. I think that's how you do it on Instagram. At Chicago PD, you might want to look at this. Right? So now y'all going to do fair crime. And what, you can't even do the Scooby-Doo thing. And I would have got away with it, too, if it wasn't for you meddling kids. Okay, I digress. Anyway, I'm sitting here thinking, man, back in my day, right? Us kids, when we were kids back then, we didn't do no snitching. Like, all our stuff was up close and personal. So, what we used to do is go outside, right? We'd go outside, we'd meet somewhere. Usually somewhere we probably shouldn't have been at, like, you know, but it is what it is. Might go to an abandoned building. On the end of the block, these had them green transformers. I guess we just sit on those. Even in the summertime, it'd be hot, but you'd be sitting there, your little legs cooking. And we used to wear short shorts. That's just what it was. I had a fishnet shirt on and fanny pack. I ain't ashamed to say it. You know, it's and I had a little rat tail with weave on it. Oh, the 90s. Anyway, so, you know, we'd probably go to an abandoned house and actually go inside of it and be on the second. We'd be on the roof or something. And it'd be like three of us, four of us. And they'd be like, man, that's a long way down. I'm like, yeah, it sure is. And then somebody be like, hey, I did a jump. And you'd be like, well, I ain't jumping. And they'd be like, yeah, because you probably scared. And we'd be like, ain't nobody scared. They're like, yeah, that's exactly what a scared dude would say. If he was about it, you'd go ahead and jump. And then you'd be like, well, I ain't no punk. And then you'd jump. You would jump. The bad thing is the windows was already busted out. Didn't worry about where the glass was. You knew the glass was in the grass or in the house somewhere. Tetanus, we wasn't worried about that because we was No Limit soldiers. Actually, that was before my time. I'm over here bringing my timeline up. We wasn't No Limit soldiers, but we was about it. We was the Goonies. You dig what I'm saying? And you would jump. You'd be in midair with your tube socks on. And I used to like the tube socks, the colors. Like the, and I had thin legs, so my tube socks be all the way up to my calves. And I had like the two little stripes and your little basketball shorts, hiding all, you know, ain't. Anyway, jump your little fishnet shirt. You jump. If you're lucky, you get snagged on the branch, you know, your little fanny pack, and you like, and get your wind knocked out of you. Or you might fall, hit the ground, sprain your leg or something, they'd be like, ooh, everybody be like, ooh, and take off running. Like, ain't nobody stick around. First, they might be like, they might come down and check on you. Like, you all right? You all right? You be like, ah. Yeah, I got my socks dirty. You like, yeah, oh, yeah, you're going to get in trouble because your socks dirty. And they'll keep looking at you. They're like, oh, man, your shorts dirty, too. You like, oh, yeah. Like, what happened to your rat tail? Oh, my little weed piece. My weed piece fell off. They're like, yeah, you might get it. But as soon as they saw some blood, they're like, oh, man, no, his arm twisted the wrong way or something. They'd take off. They would take off. And it was understood. You do something stupid, you have to limp back to your house, and your mom will open up the door. And be like, oh my God, what happened? You just had to look as pathetic as you could. But you couldn't be like, me and Poochie and Nug Nug, we was doing it. We was at the abandoned building on 7th and Jefferson, and we jumped off the. No, you took the. And then the bad thing is, your mom would get on the phone and she had to take you to the hospital. And then she got back. She'd get on the phone, call your auntie, be like, I don't know what this boy was doing. He came in here, his arm was twisted the wrong way, his socks are dirty, he lost a little piece of weave he put in his head. I don't know what I'm gonna do with that boy. And you'd be in your room, and then finally, you know, your brother come in, he'd be like, hey, what happened? You'd be like, yeah, man, I jumped off the roof. They'd be like, oh, word, okay. And you'd play Nintendo. Like, there was a code to it. You know what I'm saying? Now these kids, they snitch on themselves. And the crazy thing, even back when Hard Copy, it was a show called Hard Copy. It was kind of like hard-hitting news. It was kind of like CNN before you had CNN News or Fox News or whatever. They gave headline breaking stories, right? So anyway, even when a dude snitched on that show, they had him in a dark room. They had a guy, not Roger Cronkite, but that's the only guy I know. Like, he'd be like, yo, we got Roger Cronkite, he's interviewing the guy who snitched on the mafia. And then they'll have him on there. They would have him in the room. Only thing he saw was his silhouette, because he'd be in the dark, and they changed his voice. You know what I'm saying? Like, it'd be like, so what can you tell us about the New York Mafia? Do they exist? And it'd be like,
And I can't tell you if they're doing this or if they don't exist, but, you know, I was part of it. And, you know, I told on a lot of people.
And they're like, and do you live in constant fear?
They're like, oh, well, yeah, because I told on people. And, you know, I would get what I deserve. If I couldn't do the crime, I should have did the time, you know.
The bad thing is that was the voice of a woman. You know what I'm saying? Even... But now these kids, they over just broad-faced and doing crimes. And the bad thing is, they're cool kids that say, show me the receipts. You know, so not only did you do it, you got evidence on your phone, your mobile device has got GPS on it. I'm just saying, even as a kid trying to snitch, like, because I'd have to do the hard copy thing. You know what I'm saying? Sitting there, mom like, so Tony, did you eat the last of the cookies?
Well, Mom, I did eat the last of the cookies, and but I wasn't the only one who ate the cookies.
And they're like, well, can you point fingers who ate the cookies with you?
Well, yeah, it was me and Pookie and Knock Knock, and I didn't have no milk, though, because, you know, I ain't supposed to have no milk, cause, you know, but they did eat the cookies in there.
You know, you kids, it's listening, y'all need to gangsta up, man. I don't like what I'm saying, man. Y'all making my job, my actual job, a whole lot harder because more y'all come to jail. So just stop snitching on yourself. All right, so I'm saying the last 2 months I haven't necessarily been myself. I've been depressed. I've been, you know, in my head way too much. Now, to be fair, it's okay to look over situations, learn from them, and maybe even feel a little remorse or regret about them. But it's not okay to sit and soak and just, oh, woe is me. All right? And I had a memory that kind of put things in perspective. It didn't quite snap me out of it, but it kind of gave me a perspective. All right? So when you're depressed or not feeling the best, you always think, okay, well, I'll feel better later. It's always the later. But you keep pushing it out, you know, you never get it. So I was laying in bed and I remembered going to the museum. This is BC before Corona, when the world was open. And there was an exhibit about Pompeii. Now, if you don't know, Pompeii is a city. Well, it was a city. I don't think it's a city anymore. Pompeii was at the base of Mount Vesuvius. All right? Now, Mount Vesuvius was a volcano. And one day, just unexpectedly, people were going about their business in the city of Pompeii, you know, selling robes and, you know, talking about philosophy and stuff, because this happened like thousands of years ago, like in the BCs. So people going about their business, and in the middle of the night, the volcano erupted. Now, the volcano had not erupted for like hundreds and thousands of years. Well, I'm saying maybe hundreds of years. I'm not sure. You can Google it and figure it out. But it shot molten ash into the air so fast, and it came down so rapidly that the city was pretty much encased in this molten ash. So when they finally found this city thousands of years later, they dug it up because Mount Vesuvius was still there, obviously, you know, and they were doing archaeological digs and stuff. Started digging around, and they were like, oh, snap, under tens of layers, tens of feet of layers of ash, there's like a city down here. And they started like going through and excavating it. And they started taking, because ash fell so fast and so quickly, it encased the city, and it's like in that moment, which is crazy. So there were like a family sitting at dinner, and their bodies had burned away, but there was like basically like ash statues of the family. Like, you could see the food on the table. That's crazy. And one of the people, one of the statues, I guess you would call it, remains, was a man lying in bed. And the man had, you could just see him. You could see his imprint of him laying in the bed. And this is in the museum now, so this ain't me being vulgar or nothing. But in the little plaque that tells you what you're looking at, it says, "Man masturbating in bed." Hey man, look, if you don't have a problem with me, man, take it up with the Museum of Science and Industry or something like that. Jeez. So I'm just sitting there, the man probably had a bad day, probably had a breakup, who knows? You know, had a his grease, so he probably had a bottle of olive oil next to the bed or something, and he's probably weeping or something, figure he'd get his life together tomorrow, you know, take some time out. I'm not gonna say he was doing what the sign said, I just said what the sign had been named. Right? And he was like, you know, then he died. And like forever and ever, he is man masturbating in bed. I'm not gonna say that's what he was doing. It didn't look like it, but I mean, I don't know. Anyway, it just made me realize every moment is precious. And you cannot sit there and sulk and be heartbroken and depressed. Cause you know, you might be caught in that moment for all eternity, like thousands of years later. Kids are going up to your remains of like, "Mom, what is this man doing?" "Oh, he was depressed and now he's encased in stone," like just for all eternity. There's something to think about, man. Just put a smile on your face is what I'm trying to tell you. Live your best life, please. So earlier this week, a famous baseball announcer for, I want to say, the Kansas City team. I think his name was Tom Brenneman. He got fired mid-game. So, okay, he's an announcer, so, you know, he does the play-by-play. Now, before the game started, they were doing the groundwork, whatever, and apparently they have something that's called a hot mic. So whenever you have a microphone, if it's active, if it's recording, if it's broadcasting, they call that a hot mic, right? So if your profession, because he's been doing this for a while, Mr. Brenneman, I personally would just be very mindful of a microphone in my face. Well, he at this particular time, he wasn't. So he was just commenting, and they actually showed what was going on. There was nothing, no baseball related thing going on there. I think it was like the ground crew watering the grass or something. And he made a he said the F word. So I guess that's homophobic slur. Yeah, there we go. He made a homophobic slur about the city that they were in. So you can look it up. I'm not about to say it or whatever. But he's a 50-year-old man, 60-year-old man. He's, you know, hey, you know, the city is full of, you know, whatever, right? So no one says nothing, right? So the game is going on, and I guess halfway through the game or something, they were like, "Yo, man, just let you know, like, they heard what you said." So, and the shock on this man's face, because you can actually look it up, and you can see, like, he's sitting there, like, trying to call the game. So he's like, but he's also, like, in shock because he just realized he just killed his career. So he's like, I guess apparently earlier I was recorded saying some hurtful things, and just to let you know, oh, fly ball out to left field, caught by Papa Shango, tossing it back to the shortstop. Oh, all right, that's a double. Anyway, I'm so sorry for the things I've said and for the people I've hurt with my blatant just disregard. Oh, and second base is stolen by Frank Thomas. He's come out of retirement, stopped selling testosterone pills, and he's in great shape. Anyway, I don't know how this is going to play out. And thank you for letting me be a part of your city and your baseball. Oh, take me out to the ball game. Get me some peanuts and Cracker Jacks. Put a fork in this one. My career is over. have a good one. And then from there, like mid-game, they brought in another announcer who kind of took over. Now, I don't watch sports, and to be fair, I don't know if that was the guy who took over, but as I saw another clip, there was a black gentleman who was calling the game, and he was feminine. Okay? So I'm not going to touch that part, but I'll let you fill it in. There's comedy there, right? But I'm not going to mess with it. I just find it odd that we demand swift justice for someone saying something disrespectful, from sportscasters, from actors, from all these people, from various walks of life, professionals, but we don't hold our leaders to the same standard. And I'm not just talking about saying a word. I'm talking about what they do to certain people. Okay? If you say all people are created equal and, you know, everyone deserves respect, then if you are a person that can affect change positively for those people, then you should do it. And I just find it really remarkable. Like we as a public, we have the power to get actors taken off of jobs for saying something from 10 years ago. Like Dan Harmon, who was a cynical but very funny man. He made an animated short of an idea he had. And to be fair, if you're trying to be funny, you kind of want to be right on the edge. This comedian, he has a special, his name is, I want to say John Jeffries, but that don't sound right. He's an Australian guy. He was saying, you want to be around the edge. And it's true. You kind of want to be, if you want to be, I guess, good or whatever. Anyway, he made a joke, and it was distasteful, even at the time. So this was in 2009, and he apologized profusely. And then from there, Dan Harmon, he helped create the show Community, which is a great show. He helped create Rick and Morty, all these other things. And they brought it up again, the same animated skit from 2000. They brought it back up in 2017. And he said, look, I apologize. I'm not the same person. Like, and that's true. He's not that same person. But we'll let people who we elect to put in charge to have our best interests at heart, we'll let them antagonize and brutalize people who... It's not so much what you say, it's your actions. I guess that's what I'm trying to say. All right, so last week, I went to Chicago. Now, I know they're in the midst of a pandemic. I didn't go on a weekend. I was in downtown Chicago, and the sun went down, and it wasn't a weekend, so it was very few people there. Like, it was almost like a ghost town. It was really interesting. I saw a couple people here and there, but everyone was wearing masks. I was practicing social distancing, and like a lot of the shops were closed because they were supposed to have another protest that night, which could have turned to a riot. So some of the building fronts, they had wood, you know, so they wouldn't break the glass, and it was a really heavy police presence. And I really don't like going to Chicago, but I was just down there, just I had to clear my head. So I'm in Chicago, and I started looking around, and I just, do y'all remember like the music videos of the early 2000s? There was certain things that kind of kept happening. Like they worked pretty good in one video, so they kind of kept using them. Well, I was sitting there and I was looking around. And I was like, what if I was an extra in an early 2000s video where the guy is walking after the girl? Like, the girl's not interested, or she's playing hard to get. And the guy's like dancing around, like a little choreographed, syncopated sort of situation. I don't know if you get The vision. Okay, so. Okay, you know what? Here we go. Here we go. Remember Michael Jackson, The Way You Make Me Feel? Okay, so here we go. They in the middle of the hood, right? So they in the middle of the hood, some fine girl walking down the street. And that's black people talking stank, right? Right? So Michael Jackson come out the alleyway, which is creepy. But Mike got the socks on, and then he's standing there. She passed him up. Mike in his feels now, though, right? So she keep walking. Hey! She turn around like, what? I don't even know you. And the whole hood stopped. They like, dang, Mike use his big boy voice. What's going on? Mike take his time, turn around like, I don't know who you think you're messing with. Show the hand. Girl, you just came out of the alleyway with a karate outfit on, a big white belt. Strolled into her, snap his fingers. The fact she ain't run off, though. You know, that's how she was raised right, you know? You walk up to her, Jericho glistening. What do you got to say? Looking her up and down. Again, a little creepy, but it's Mike, so we excuse it. What Mike got to say?
You knocked me off of my feet now, baby.
Ooh! Right? And then the video will start. Mike dancing, spent on her. Give it a slow walk around, and now she freaked out. She don't know what's going on. And now she keeps walking, right? This is how the video started. What year did this video come out? It don't say. Okay, but after that happened, so Mike chases her, right? Okay, so this trope continued through the early 2000s. Then we had, to me, which is the best of the creepily stalking women videos, Touch by Omarion. Because the crazy thing is, the girl, so he sit on top of his car, looking, right? So she leaving the club, and they like, girl, come on, no, that man sitting there looking at you. She's like, no, I'm just going to walk. They're like, okay, fine. They terrible friends, they left. But she gave him the eye. That's the difference.
We know each other.
Oh, wearing his big brother's pants, sliding down the street. So the trope of following women around continued from Mike to this young man right here. I think, personally, I think he did it the best because the fact that she was throwing the rhythm back, right? So. Y'all know that. So he sit on top of his car, right? So she come out the club. He parking lot pimping. So she like, nah, girl, I'm going to go ahead and leave. They like, girl, don't leave. That dude with the braids is looking at you like, I'll be okay. But then she gave him the look back. That was kind of like, okay, let's do it, right? So he walking.
We know each other.
Wearing his brother's pants. And then she like hip winding back at him, right? So now they dancing together, right? But she ain't never say stop.
Fantasy.
Now he dancing in the middle of a wet street. Now they both kind of like doing like a snake kamikaze situation. He got his new Tims. But see, the cool thing is, she's tempting him. See, Mike, he just came out of the alleyway like, hey, girl, you knocked me off my feet. Now what we going to do about it? And let it touch. All right. So you had that, right? Wet street. He doing this whole thing. And then I'm going to tell you, the king of them all, Mr. Stalker the Girls, Mr. Usher. So, why am I bringing this up, right? Why are you talking about the videos and you walking down Chicago? Because I was sitting there thinking, like, what if I was a bystander, but I wasn't necessarily, like, Mike Jackson's homeboy? You know what I'm saying? So, Mike Jackson's like, because at the end of the video, everybody like, girl, go ahead, talk to him. That's Mike, girl, talk to him. And then, you know, she was like, he turned away and he started dancing in the waterfall. She like, she came back running like, okay, Mike, I want to be your girlfriend. Simple as that. And they kissed awkwardly under the fire hydrant. But what if you weren't a part of Mike's crew? What if you were just a dude? Like, I'm walking down Chicago and then I see some dude, he playing his music. He doing his whole little dance behind the girl. And then, like, she obviously not into it. I'd be like, excuse me, young man, please. Okay, I would probably walk up to him, stop. You know, just stop what you're doing. He'd probably have his shirt open at that point. Put my hand on his chest, and he'd be all baby oiled up. I'd, look, young man, button up your shirt. Get the baby oil off your chest. Jesus! I'm not starting again. Young man, button up your shirt. Put the baby oil away. The young lady's obviously not into you. Be a gentleman. You know? Okay, because, like, see, Usher, he had a couple of them. Since I got it up, and since I'm not starting again, dog it! Okay, I can't skip the commercial. This is bad planning on my part.
The new barbecue rib or any foot long is just $5 when you buy two.
Yeah, it's $5 foot long. Anyway, Usher was the best of this because he had two of them. You see me in a minute, girl. He dressed almost like Omarion. He going down the escalator. Hey. Excuse me, ma'am. I got you on a moving elevator. You can't go nowhere. I just want to let you know. I do like you. I want to be with you. But I see you got bags in your hand. I ain't a gentleman. I ain't going to hold them. But by the end of this elevator, I'm going to let you know. You remind me of my last girlfriend. So now I got to go. Do a little leg shimmy. And where's that little water dance? Hold on. I got to just... You can't watch the video without going to the little water dance. And then you got to do a little leg shimmy and get in your expensive automobile. That's just what it is. And then guess what? After Usher said, you remind me of my girlfriend, but I see you interested in me, I'm going to leave you. Guess what? Now that you ain't got to call me. So now I'm getting dressed to go to the club to do some more shenanigans. Dance in your own house. Anyway, I guess what I'm saying is, times have changed a whole lot, because you can't just, you know, do the butterfly and the tootsie roll as a woman who obviously don't want to be bothered, because, you know, you might end up on Facebook Live like, oh, girl, this creep is dancing behind me, and that'll kill your whole. There's something to be said for persistence, but same time, you got to know when to hold them and when to fold them. And I want to say Justin Timberlake did it too, but I digress. All right, fam, I'm gonna let you know. The world's changing very rapidly, and some of it's good, some of it's bad, some of it we gotta wait to see. But there are things going on that I find interesting. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. It's definitely something I'm watching, though, right? So a young white guy comes into the jail. He's brought in by police. And I'm going to say alleged, because I'm not a police officer. I'm not the judge, the jury, executioner, none of those people, right? So a gentleman comes in. He's exhibiting someone who's been smoking marijuana, high as a kite, right? So he comes in. He's mouthy. And he's giving off attitude, but he's way too tiny, too small of a person to have such a great big attitude. You know, he comes in, he's talking stank to the officer, he's talking stank to me, he's talking stank to my coworkers, right? So we put him into his room and everything's fine. But he's being very disagreeable and he's being very disrespectful, quite frankly. And, you know, we figure, okay, we'll let him rant and rave a little bit, maybe he'll go to sleep. But he keeps telling us, like, you got nothing on me. And what, you just brought me in for a little bit of weed? Ha, my lawyer's going to have a field day. He's a privileged guy, right? And he just think the fact that we brought, I'm not a police officer. The fact that he got arrested for a little bit of weed is just the most ludicrous thing that's ever happened to him in his life. And all, he going to get me fired, and everybody, me and my mama, all of us, we going to get fired, right? So I go in there and talk to the young man, got my mask on. I'm like, look, sir. Like, look, if you got a lawyer, you know, just basically you go to sleep, you got enough money to bond out, you know, this would be just, don't make it a weird experience, just go to sleep. Like, this ain't the first time you've been here, you know. Nah, man, you know, and you, worst of all, you the worst of them all. I say, okay, sir, you know, just go to sleep, please and thank you. Leave out the room, right? So he starts up again. Oh, I'm gonna get all y'all fired, blah, 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 right? After a while, my niceness is like, now I'm being pushed to the test. After 3 hours, somebody yelling at you, you know, kicking doors and stuff, that goes out the window. So I go up and I'm like, look, sir, like, you really need to just go lay down, because, you know, you're making this worse on yourself. You could have been asleep. You could have been out of here by the time you woke up. And he was like, and I'm surprised at you. I say, what I do? He say, man, after what happened to George Floyd, you sitting here locking me up? I say, sir, I know you high right now. So I'm gonna let you know this is a whole different little scenario. Like, you came in, you got no bruise on you. He say, man, this is injustice, man. And at first it was George Floyd, and now it's me. I said, okay, I'm leaving. Like, I closed the door and left out, right? So I'm sitting there watching him on camera. And he doing that thing what little kids do. You know, when you was a little kid, your mom, she'd yell at you in front of your aunties or something. And you would go up to your room, you start huffing and puffing. You'd be like, you trying to embarrass me? You gonna try to embarrass me? Like, throwing punches in the air. Like, I'm sitting there watching him. And it blows my mind. Like, okay, so you equate your situation. You being in jail, brought in here. You are perfectly fine. The legal system worked the way it was supposed to work. You're equating your situation to the George Floyd situation. And somehow I'm your oppressor, even though I haven't put my hands on you. That was a level of privilege that was staggering and, quite frankly, mind-blowing to me. I met the crazy thing. Okay, so back in the early 80s, everybody made fun of black people for giving our kids ethnic names, right? And they were like, oh, Shoshana and Shashika, they won't be able to get a job. And little Taquil, you know, you might as well just sign him up for a prison boot camp, because he ain't gonna never be nothing. He in second grade now, and he drank his milk out the wrong side of the carton. So, you know, you can chalk that up to the game, you know. So it's like, okay, so they made fun of us, and then some people named their kids, they little black kids, John and, you know, Elizabeth and stuff. That way they won't know if they black until they come to the door, you know, and then by then, hey, it's too late. You got to give me a shot, right? That was the problem in the, mid-80s, late 90s, right? So I come to work, some little young lady, you know, I'm going to make up a name. So I ain't putting nobody business out there. This little young white girl comes up to me. And she was like, I'm looking at her name, and I'm like, what is this? What is this? Because I don't go by first names. You go by last names in jail. So I was looking at her first name. I was looking at her first name. I say, what is this? Because I'm trying to put a white pronunciation to it. I'm thinking maybe it's Northlandic or Slavic or something. She was like, my name is Michaela. I'm not starting again. I said, you do not get to do that. She was like, I don't get to do what? Like, so let me get this straight. And how old are you? She was like, I'm 20. So wait a minute. We can't have nothing, is what you're telling me. Like, first, y'all told us our names were too ethnic, and now I'm sitting there talking to a white Michaela? Like, when did this happen? And I was like, I don't recognize that. Your name is Michaela, or your name is Mikala or something. Like, you don't get to take the Zimbabwe Central African saying of that name. Michaela means princess of light or something in Swahili. No, you don't. Mm-mm. No. Your name is Rachel, Beth, Bethany. Don't take from my people. You took enough. Your name is going to be May, June, July. Like, you don't get to be Michaela. And I actually told her, but that wasn't her name, but I was like, the only Michaela I recognize is my little niece, but then I realized her name wasn't Michaela. But that was besides the point. It was too close. You know, don't go chasing waterfalls. Stick to the Beths and Rachels that you are used to. Because So you know how people come to this country and they come from different countries, right? They come from, different countries. Countries other than this. And in order to give their kids an easier time here, they give them names that reflect the names around them. Okay, so if someone is coming from Pakistan, right? They come to this country and they might have a name like, you know, a traditional Pakistani name. So when they come over here, they establish themselves. They've had a hard time. They've been persecuted. They've made their way up. And now they have a child born in America, a fresh new start. So what do? They try, sometimes, they give them a name that is more easily palatable to Americans. I don't know if that's fair or not, but that's just what it is. Like, you meet a gentleman, his name, you know, He's got three kids, and if they were in Pakistani names, probably be like what, Muhammad and Omar and Ahmed. I'm not trying to be racist, those are just popular names over there. And then you see little, you know, he comes up and you're like, oh, these are some cute kids. What are their names? And you're like, Skylar, Kaden, and Jaden. You're like, pardon me? It would be a little bit of a culture shock. That's all I'm saying. And like I say, man, I met, you know, working here, I met a little young man, not working, but living in the city. It's an all-white city for the most part. Met a little multi-ethnic boy, black and white. Like, his, I won't say his name, but his name was actually like a cool sugar daddy name. You know what I'm saying? Like, Willie. I'm like, oh, William, nice to meet you. Okay, you know what? This is what happened, all right? So they was having a play date. My daughter was having a play date with this little boy. And his mom was there. She's white. And, you know, I was married at the time. So come home, and I heard about the woman, and I heard about her son. No big deal, right? So I come in the house, and then my daughter was like, hey, Dad, this is my friend. I was like, okay, cool. And so he comes up, he says, Tony. I say, you can't call me Tony. And he looked at my daughter. He looked at me, looked at my daughter, and looked at his mom. I say, young man, until you work a full-time job or you can buy me a beer, you don't get to call me Tony. Kids call me Mr. Bronson. And then he kind of get like that nervous chuckle. And I looked at him like, ain't nobody smiling around here. And then my ex-wife was like, Tony, be nice. I'm like, he was like, anyway, Mr. Bronson, say my name is Willie. I say, your name is what? He say, Willie. I say, oh, okay, William. He was like, no, Willie. I looked at everybody in the room and was like, okay, so why is Willie having a play date with my daughter? Because Willie is a 50-year-old man about to retire from the steel mill. Willie drives a van. Willie wear walking suits and hats like Steve Harvey everywhere. Willie is not allowed to have a play date with my 9-year-old, my 8-year-old. So Willie need to get in his van with the handicap parking and kick rocks. So yeah, the white mom was like, well, he's named after his uncle. Well, Uncle Willie and Little Willie Jr. here need to really watch it. So I sat down and went down, sat somewhere. But yeah, just the names, man. We doing some weird things with our names. So, okay, I'm leaving alone. So the last time I did a podcast, I had mentioned that me and my bro number two, went to go have dinner or have a meeting with the mayor at his house. So by the time the meeting wrapped up, the mayor lives really close to Miller Beach. So we parked by the beach and we were just walking and kind of reflecting on, you know, the experience. And we both had to take a leak. So as we was walking, we saw two porta potties. They're pretty close to each other. So I go in and use the porta potty. He goes in and use the porta potty. So as I'm taking a leak, the top of the porta potty, because I'm pretty tall, so I can kind of see, not the top, but like the ring around the porta potty, I guess. The top walls of the porta potty, there was like a mesh, like almost like a screen. Like about maybe 3 inches all around, I guess, to let air in, so you know the stuff inside the porta potty won't be stinking. So as we sitting there, as we, you know, using the bathroom, whatever, I see a truck. I can see the back of a white truck pull up. Now I can't quite see what's going on, but I'm no longer like bashful and shame here. I'm not like holding myself and trying to like occupado. Like, I'm not doing that. I'm trying to figure out what's going on, because in my brain, I'm automatically thinking, okay, so they saw two dudes come up in the porta potties, so they're gonna run up in here and try to rob us or something, you know. I don't know why, but that's what my brain went to. And I couldn't see the truck. I saw the truck. I saw the back of the truck. I saw the red taillights or whatever. So I'm sitting there waiting. I'm like, well, come on, sucker, because I still had to pee though. So I'm still peeing, but I'm turning kind of like at the door. I ain't even aiming at the hole no more. First person come through that door, they getting the R. Kelly 1-2 combination. Like, they're getting rained on and they're getting beat on. Like, it ain't no rap about it. Like, you ain't taking me out of porta potty. Like, oh my gosh, look, not my penis, right? So anyway, the truck then goes in the drive and now it moves. So now I'm trying to look and make sure brother number two okay, because I don't know what his mind state is. But look, you ain't taking my bro either. So anyway, I finish up, I come out the bathroom, like, where they at, who want them with hoes? But they was gone. At that moment, I realized there are pretty much two type of people. I said bro number two, did you peep that situation? He was like, what situation? I said, man, you didn't see the truck pull up, the lights was on, the car was still in, the truck was still in drive. He was like, no, I was too busy using the bathroom. I was like, yeah, but I mean, you do know that could have went bad, right? He was like, maybe, I don't know. I was like, at that moment, it let me know that there are two type of people in this world. There are people who would do anything to survive, and people, I'm not going to say who won't do anything to survive, but people who are more cautious, maybe. Okay. I guess what I'm saying is, at that moment, I realized I would fight for my survival indecent. All right, and then I flashed back to another situation I had. I was working in jail. All right, so I'm sitting there using the bathroom. I worked the midnight shift. It's like 4 o'clock in the morning, 5 o'clock in the morning. I've done a double. I'm tired. I go take a Count Dooku. That's a number two. Right, sitting there. Now this bathroom is oddly built. Like, it's pretty much like the length of a hallway or half a hallway. It's way too long to be a bathroom, but they put a bathroom in there. So I didn't lock the door, right? So there are inmates who are up all hours of night cleaning jails, right? So I'm sitting there using the bathroom, you know, got my pants down around my knees or whatever, using the bathroom, and the dude, I guess he was coming to clean the bathroom and didn't realize I was in the bathroom. So he opens up the door and I'm sitting there, you know, on the toilet. And he was like, oh, I'm sorry. I'm sitting there looking at him like, what are we doing here? Like, honestly, like, I got no problem. And plus, I got time. I ain't talking about pulling up the pants. I'm talking about I got time to stand up and fight you. And he was an older gentleman. It wasn't going down like that. But my thing is, it wasn't like, oh, ocupado, I'm indecent. It was like, either close the door or come on in. One or two. It's whatever. Anyway, he closed the door. He was like, oh, I'm sorry, whatever. Close the door. It let me know there are two type of people in this world. And now you have to ask yourself the question. What type of person are you? And everybody probably like, brother number one want to get up and fight with the. Look, man, it ain't about that. It's about going home to see your loved ones, to kiss your kids. You know what I'm saying? It ain't about all that. Now, I done made it weird. I'm about to go ahead and go, y'all. Hey, I think I've been noticing I've been using the last couple minutes of the podcast to kind of air out grievances. I don't know if I'm going to stop doing that. It seems anti-climactic, or maybe just complaining a little bit. But I'm going to say this. This one's going to fly. And then, next episode's 100th, so I got some things planned. Anyway, you know, I appreciate anyone who listens to this podcast, especially if you got this far. I really do. I appreciate all the comments and everything else. And you know what? Some people say the podcast not long enough. Some people say it's too long. This is what I'm going to do. If you've listened this long, send me a text. Just 219-964-7781. And you let me know. You ain't even got to send me a message. Just tell me. Send me a message. Just say either too long, not long enough. That way, I'll shoot for 30 minutes. But if you want more, we can probably do more. So I'm leaving it up to y'all. I'm not going to check no emails. Just send me a text, 219-964-7781. Either too much or not enough. Okay? Fair enough. So anyway, people always want to... I appreciate the people who say very nice things. But it's always the person or people who have criticism that you remember. For every person, singer, whatever, thousands of people yelling, "Oh, I love you, you're great," this and that. It's always that one mean comment that wakes you up in the middle of the night, right? So I typically don't ask people if they listen, but I had somebody tell, one person actually cared what they thought. I was like, "Yo, do you, you know, have you listened, you know, have you given a listen lately? I think maybe it's a good show." This person had the mitigated guard, like, "Tony, I don't think you funny." And I was like, "Okay, fair enough." I mean, I asked an honest question, got an honest answer. And to that person, I just want to say, I never said I was funny. Okay? I never said I was funny. I said people say I'm funny. It's like, that's a topic for another show. Like, how do you know you're a good person? But that's besides the point. I never said I was funny. I said people say that I can be funny. Big difference. All right, y'all. I got work to do. Y'all be sweet to each other. Be kind. Please enjoy the show. Send me a text. Let me know something. All right. Love y'all. Bye. All right, real quick, I also want to apologize. I almost forgot. I want to apologize for all the activity on my phone. Apparently, one of our family friends got married today in the midst of a pandemic. And kudos to you. I refer to him on the show as Trinidad Jay. I don't know what people are comfortable with, but anyway, he got married to his beautiful woman. And in the midst of the pandemic, love finds a way. And that's a beautiful thing. So please excuse all the zips and zoops and all the alerts that was going off. And congratulations to Trinidad Jay. Now look, I love Trinidad Jay, but the reason I call him Trinidad Jay is because his people are Trinidadian. I don't know how, Trinidadian, right? So if you get him excited, or he grew up in here, but once you get him to talking, or if you're talking about, jerk chicken or something, his accent comes out. So it's like, "Hey, the best jerk chicken. These people don't know about jerk chicken." It's not racist. It's just kind of what it is. Or we drink it. Like, "Hey, have you tried the rum?" Anyway, I already know he was being all Trinidadian. Anyway, congratulations, Trinidad Jay. I wish you nothing but the success. And I'm going to tell you, in the darkest night, the beautiful dawns arise. If I would have been privy to you being married, I would have been there. I would have brought a gift. I would have got messy. I would have danced. And it would have been glorious. You would have had memories. But I had to work. And also, I didn't know. So anyway, congratulations to you. All right, fam. Be sweet. Love you. Peace.